Hello, this is Jay Nemrell. You're listening to The Life Autistic. This is episode 588. How God is like Santa Claus. Well, that's kind of a leading statement, of course. Now, I'm talking about something with which I am somewhat familiar, though I am a Mormon, and therefore, in a lot of people's minds, I am not a Christian. And frankly, when Christians start talking about what they believe or what their doctrine teaches, they're right. I'm not much of a Christian by their own definition. And frankly, I don't want to be. You know, so if you start throwing that at me and saying, well, you know, as if when they say it, I'm all of a sudden going to go, ooh, man, I must conform to society's picture of what a Christian is supposed to be. I'm not going to do it. Because I'm not interested particularly in dogmas and things like that, and about, you know, this is what the Baptist Church says, a person is, or what a Christian is, and, you know, I don't have to honor that. I don't have to sit there and honor it. You know, it's like I said in the last podcast, I can live and let live. You know, you can believe whatever you want to believe. It doesn't mean I have to. Well, then you're not a Christian. Oh, okay, fine. I'll be a person trying to become more like God. I know it's not as short and flashy as just saying, hey, I'm a Christian. But, you know, it's just like any other label you put on something. You know, if it doesn't work, you don't do it. You don't take it. You know, you create your own definition. Is that where Zenith came from? Is the fact that I didn't seem to fit the current categories? So I just said, okay, fine. I guess I'm gonna be something else. Well, anyway. Let's talk about this whole concept of Christ kind of being along the same lines as Santa Claus. And let me kind of describe to you about the whole concept of Santa Claus first, and then we'll start sticking Christ in there. Because I think this is how most Christians look at Christ. You know, and I'm sorry, it's not terribly complimentary. And I'm not going to try to make it so. I'm not going to do that to you people. You know, it's important to be honest sometimes. Now, I'm not going to try to be rude and tear apart people's belief systems and tell them they're wrong. You know, because you know what? They can live and let live. If they don't want to know about what I think is true, and I think I've got it, I'm closer than most, you know, and they just want, you know, they like their view of it, that's fine, you know, whatever. I'm not saying you're right or wrong. I'm not saying that you're okay. Please don't take it that way. I'm a live and let live kind of guy. If you want to go off and destroy yourself, I'm not going to kill myself trying to stop you. Okay? Doesn't help me any. There's no point trying to save you from a circumstance that you don't want to be saved from. You know, and if that makes me a bad person, I guess I'm a bad person. But you can think that all you want, and I might very well be. I don't know. Something to ponder. Anyway, let's talk about it. Okay, Santa Claus. I mean, you can say, oh well, there was somebody in the past that actually was Saint Nicholas, and I suppose that's true. There was some guy, and I guess we have a little bit of a record of him. But what ultimately becomes what we call now Santa Claus is something that's made up. Now, for kids who may be listening to this, I'm really sorry. You know, is there some guy in 2008 that flies around on a sleigh that breaks all the rules of time and space and brings presents to all the kiddies? That's untrue. Now, the fact that we've created this whole myth about it and that we perpetuate it, that's all nice and sweet. And we do it for the kids. We do it because it's kind of nostalgic in a way, you know. It's kind of going back to our childhood roots. It's kind of like there's some wonderful mystical force for good out there that we've called Santa Claus. And, you know, it's sometimes, and adults even start to anthropomorphize these feelings and name that anthropomorphization. Ooh, that's a big word that probably doesn't exist. Anthropomorphication. Santa Claus. You know, and say, oh no, there really is a Santa Claus. It's the idea. It exists as an idea. Kind of a metaphysical woohoo type out there stuff. Okay? And you get all this stuff. So I guess in a way Santa Claus does exist as an idea, as a concept, as kind of this wonderful thing that really couldn't exist for the sole reason that it just doesn't exist. I get, you know, maybe it could exist, I don't know. But as far as I can tell by the presented evidence, if you're going to be an empirical person, yeah, is there a Santa Claus? No. At least not how we describe him. Was there one in the past? Yeah, it seems to be based on a real person. Way back there. Could he be alive today? I don't think so. Anyway. So that's a little bit about, and, you know, I'm not trying to be rude. I'm not trying to break people's long-held beliefs here. We're talking of, you know, we're talking about a guy that the historical records talk about this person, and he's grown up to be this kind of a phenomenon, grown up by a lot of different things. It's created by marketers, it's created by just long tradition and folklore, all mixed and bundled up together into this thing that's become Santa Claus. At least in the United States. Now let's take that thing and let's compare it to how many people view Jesus Christ. Now I come from the view of being a believer that Jesus Christ actually lived, that he did. He lived. He was born in a manger in Bethlehem. I believe that Jesus Christ. Lived to the age of about 33. I believe he did miracles, just like it says in the New Testament. I believe that he was brought up on charges and that he was crucified for those. I also believe the amazing things like Jesus Christ had a mother, a natural mother, but that his natural father was God. I believe that he was somehow impregnated by the Holy Spirit or whatever. I believe that, you know, there's when I say whatever, people tend to say, well, I don't believe when you say whatever. And you go, no, this is, I'm trying to put across that people's typical view of Jesus Christ, I believe in that. Now, there's tons of people who will say, no, you don't, because you're a Mormon, and Mormons don't believe in that. Mormons believe in something else. And it's like, well, okay, whatever. You know, whatever turns you on. Because I'm a live and let live kind of guy. So when I say whatever to these things, it's just because it's become such a charged thing. If you say it a certain way, people suppose things about you. And I'm pretty upfront about my biases. I'm a Mormon. I do adhere to the to the standard Orthodox Latter-day Saint view of what Jesus Christ is. Not only was he the man in the New Testament, but he was also the man that also appeared on the American continent and came and taught many of the things he taught in the Holy Land to people in America, somewhere in America. I'm pretty standard. I believe what was taught me there. Okay? Now, let me go ahead and take a jab, because I'm sorry. I think Christians believe in a version, in their own version of Jesus Christ that has, that looks more like Santa Claus than it looks as probably the real figure, Jesus Christ. You know, it's like comparing St. Nicholas to the Santa Claus of today, is how Jesus Christ really was and how people perceive Jesus Christ to be today. And God, that whole thing, of course, most Christians believe Jesus Christ is God. He is the Father and the Son and all these things. And that, you know, when that God let himself be put in human form and came down as Jesus Christ, and that is God. Now, I'm not going to get into the theological discussion about this stuff, because I'm not here to prove to you anything. I'm just here to say that there's one basic kind of nasty little flaw, nasty little perspective that isn't very kindly toward your mainline Christians who think they've pretty much got things nailed down. You know, everything's cool, everything's great, we've got the truth, and it's all really good. I mean, we've got our little disputations among ourselves, we've got different denominations and creeds, but it doesn't matter because we all believe the same thing. You know, well, number one, we don't, and number two, I don't think that this common view of Jesus Christ or of God is anything other than a belief in Santa Claus. I don't think Christians, when put to the task, are all that much of believer. Now, I'm not, you know, if you think I'm attacking you, don't. Because I'm not talking about individual people. I'm talking about, in the mass, how most people think about God. You may be very steadfast in your belief that your concepts of God are on the money. And you exercise faith that way. If so, great. Wonderful. Live and let live. You know, I'm not gonna jump all over your beliefs. And I hope you don't jump all over mine, but mine get jumped on pretty hard. So I'm gonna just give some basic points to consider here. Because most people on earth exercise a belief in God. Now, it's some of them are different. Many of them have a lot of things in common. You know, the kind of supreme being, divine nature sort of thing going on. But think back to that thing, you know. We start with St. Nicholas, and that became this weird thing called Santa Claus. I think the same thing has over time happened to Jesus Christ and the God. They've become these interesting figures that probably bear no resemblance whatsoever to their origins. Let's go to Weaver City, huh? Weaver City this way? This is the release we take. This is interesting. Well, I take these new little back roads. I'm trying to get the Ag Science Center in Clovis. from house, and it's not, not a straight shot. Probably could be, though. I could probably find a way that was a reasonably a straight shot. Someday I might, especially if I decide to move closer to a house. Anyway. If you could give it a term, I'd call it the Santa Clausation. The Santa Clausation of God. You know, people don't really believe in God, but they've made this whole mythology around it, and there's a whole ton of people that put tons and tons of faith in that mythology. And you're going, you know, to the point where they almost get upset if you start saying, well, let's try to find some truths about God. They get upset about it. Like people don't want to know truths about Santa Claus. They want to keep him right there, you know. I don't want Santa Claus to be real. You know, I like Santa, you know, I like the whole idea of the sleigh and the reindeer. I even like the little Rudolph thing. A rather new addition to the myth. You know, I like all that. Don't take that away from me, and certainly you better not take away from my kids. And you see parallels when, you know, some people will say, well, I don't need religion, but I want my kids to have religion. I want them to know about God. And you're going, but you don't do anything in relation to God particularly. But that's kind of, that's somewhat a Christian thing. I know Christian churches want you to go and, you know, go to their church and things like that, whatever their ultimate reasons end up being for why they want to. But they take as a fact that most adults there is a good number of adults that don't practice, you know, and they tend to believe in a vision of God a little infantile. And it's mostly because we come up with our concept of God because our grandparents took us to church when our parents were rebelling against organized religion, perhaps. You know, what's another good statement, good way of looking at it? I guess that's probably the one that's the best. Is to say it that way, you know. And so we all kind of function with this child's view of what they teach you in Sunday school for God. You know, most of us just function with that. I suppose it would be easier for preachers and ministers to keep you on that level because when you were young and impressionable and you could be scared or convinced or, you know, put in this stuff, that's where we got our concept of God, was right there. Just like that's where we get our concept of Santa Claus. And that rises with us, even though after a while we go, well, I don't really know if any of that crap's true. But, you know what, I'm going to say it's true because it's a good political move. It's a good, you know, when I say that I believe in this kind of God this way, you know, it makes you sound better. Makes you sound better. So anyway, so I, I think most people do that. Most Christians, even your hardcore Christians. You know, the ones that get out and do their little praise songs. I'm sorry, that sounds like I'm demeaning it. You know, they go out and they want to praise God that way, and that's better than not praising God. I've got to tell you that, I think. interesting and I'm looking at this dome. It's, I think it's a radar dome. And it's got an interesting kind of geometric pattern to it. Anyway, so, I'm sorry. I'm easily distracted. But hopefully I'm not just absolutely dim. But I'm concerned that many so-called Christians are going to be very disappointed when they find out that God's nothing like they had been taught, that he is very different from what he what they were told, and that they'll be angry to the point to where they'll go, no, you're not God. It's like, excuse me, I don't think you can just come out and say, oh, you're not God. Excuse me, I think I know who I am. And it's like, oh, no. God is this. God is that. This is my take on what God is. And you go, you know what? I don't care what your take is. I'm not somebody that has to try to become your vision. You know, I don't have to mold myself to what you like. You need to change your perception to the reality of what God is. And Christians have a problem with that because they have molded and shaped their own version of God. And, you know, and it's easy to fall into that trap, especially when it's really simple. The only person we really have to turn to for this, you know, we have a book to refer to called the Bible. At least Christians do have the Bible, the Old and New Testament. The only personage that we have that we can really latch on to and say, ooh, God, is Jesus Christ. And the historical record is somewhat vague. Even if you don't have a problem with the New Testament version of him, he's still somewhat vague. We have a record of some of the things he taught. We have a record of some of the things he said, from other people's perspectives. You know, and that almost, that kind of puts him in the same camp as St. Nicholas, for instance. We can't go and ask St. Nicholas questions. We can't ask, well, at least the Christian version of Jesus Christ, we can't ask that Jesus Christ questions either. We can only look at the historical record we have of him, and not, well, and the religious record too. I'm not trying to downplay the Bible here under these circumstances. That's not useful. We have this person that we really don't know very much about at all. And and in those blanks, of which we have many blanks, of what his life, of what kind of a person he was, how we think he should have been, we conveniently fill them in. And we don't seem to have any problems somewhat fictionalizing Jesus Christ, just like we fictionalized the whole kind of some of the doings of St. Nicholas and manufactured this frankly fantastic and I mean fantastic in the way of fantasy. This fantastical personage of Santa Claus. And Jesus Christ has pretty much gone through that same kind of process over the years. You know, Jesus Christ has become a figure upon which you can merchandise. Ask anybody who runs a Christian bookstore. The Christian bookstore is basically a merchandising of Jesus Christ and through association of God. People have come up with, I mean, people have conveniently defined God in ways that God never really spoke to himself. No prophet really spoke of it. Jesus Christ spoke on some subjects, but he did not speak on others. We do not know Jesus Christ's take on public education. For just for an example, we don't know how he felt about that, because we just don't know. He didn't say. Although we can spend time searching through scriptures that we have, things that he has said, and try to piece together something. That's what's called scripture chain. And I have real problems with scripture chains, because it is a manufacturing. You know, it's like, well, if I put, you know, it's almost like they used to have a Bible, it's called the Red Letter Bible. Every single thing that Jesus Christ said was printed in red type rather than black. That way you could know what Jesus was said, and that was the most important. So I always thought a scripture chain was like, let's take all those words, let's cut out every individual red word from a red word Bible of what Jesus said, you know, mush them all together, smooth them all out, and then do what that little game that people used to do with poetry, you know, you'd put a word on a magnet up on your refrigerator, and you'd string them together, and you'd call it literature or poetry or whatever. And you can do that, you know. You can make those red letters say anything, nearly. Christ did speak that we have a record of. He was transcribed. He didn't. We're not aware of him writing anything. Maybe except for drawing. I'm sure Bible would say, "Oh no, yeah, you're wrong." Jesus did write something. He wrote in the dirt while the woman caught in adultery was brought before him. And you go, well, okay, fine. We have a record of what he wrote? Oh, no. And you go, okay, there it is. So basically, we don't have anything. If he did write, we don't have it. We only have the secondhand accounts of what people saw. Well, no, I guess it was a firsthand account. But it wasn't Jesus writing down saying, here's what I want people to know. He didn't do that. He would say, and other people would write. And sometimes we have first-hand accounts. I'd have to say, I don't know how the New Testament is. They might be second, third-hand accounts. I don't know. In some cases, I don't know if Matthew was actually present at most of these events. I think he was a chronicler. And, well, I'm just saying, I don't know. I don't know. So I'm not going to sit here and try to indicate the fact that I don't know, because I don't. So I'm not going to give people any chance to do that. What I am saying is that Jesus Christ is as manufactured, or people's perception of Jesus Christ. I'm not becoming anti-God or anti-Christian here. I'm just saying that the traditional vision of Jesus Christ, the traditional concept of the kind of person Christ was and what he would do in a situation, the old thing of what would Jesus do, a whole lot of that is based simply on fantasy. You know, let's put people in that situation and let's see how they react. And do you think Jesus would behave that way? Which way is better? And you know, I'm always constantly flummoxed because people often ignore certain parts of Jesus' life so that their concept of him that they've built up works. The whole problem that some people run up against really hard is when Jesus goes and cleanses the temple, and he's whipping people, and he is not meek, he's not mild about it, he is angry, and he is whipping up on them. He's driving them out, turning over their tables, basically ruining their commerce, which nobody thinks he should do. Oftentimes, people conveniently forget that aspect of Christ because it doesn't mesh with what they've always thought. Oh, Jesus loved. Jesus loved everybody. He never hurt a soul. I'm sure, see, and this is where the speculation starts creeping in. You know, I'm sure that if Jesus would have run across a butterfly that somehow got entangled somewhere, he would spend hours disentangling and helping, and I'm sure he would use some of his virtue to heal that butterfly so that it could fly on. And you're going, you know what? Who knows? Who knows what Jesus would have done? There's every chance he would have just tromped right by and just stomped the thing. And going on. I can't say. Of course, you say, oh, that's blasphemy. And you go, what? You go, you don't know. Oh, you know, it's just, let me give you an example. He was whipping people with a whip. He was driving them out. He was turning over their tables, scattering their money, to the point to where people didn't know which money was theirs and which was somebody else's. Does that constitute stealing? I don't think so, but it certainly causes everybody lots of problems. You know, if Christ was the wonderful, and I'm not saying he wasn't wonderful, but if Christ really met what most people say was his nature, you know, the common view of his nature, you know, he should have gone in there very humbly, very quietly, and said, I really wish you wouldn't do this. I really wish that you guys had more respect and honor for God, and that you wouldn't sell things in the court of his temple. Of course, they would have laughed and scorned and thrown him out, because that's how they would have been. You know, so people manufacture this thing. And, of course, different people have different concepts of God based on their own experience of trying to rectify God with their experience and what they see. You know, a whole lot of them say, well, there very well may be a God, but he doesn't hang out around here anymore, because I don't see him righting wrongs. I don't see him doing anything. And, you know, that's a very easy and, I'm sorry, very honest conception of it. It's honest. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying it's honest. As opposed to, I think, what is dishonesty in saying, oh no, there's a God, and here's the explanation for this, and here's the explanation for that, that basically paints this picture of Jesus and of God that is untenable. It's like saying, you know, well, Santa Claus can convince every child in the world, every Christian child in the world, and give them all presents, come down their chimneys, blah, 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 blah. And we come up with movies where it's almost magical how he can do it, but they try to make it plausible. And it's just like that with God, too. We end up manufacturing what's probably an impossible God. Of course, it's really easy because people come right back and say, well, you know, in God's nature, nothing's impossible for God. You're going, well, You know, okay, if that's true, then what exactly are we worshiping? You know, if you're going to bring up that premise and say, well, you can't know the mind of God, then why on earth are you even considering God to be good? Why are you spending time doing that? Why are you trying to appease a God that doesn't seem to do anything? Is he making your life better? Is he making your life worse? Those are usually the two reasons why you would try to do something at the behest of somebody else, either because they're going to reward you for doing it or because they're going to punish you if you don't. And, you know, looking around, it's hard to see. It's hard to see why people put their trust in God when almost steadfastly they try very hard to make God impossible. Oh, he's so meek and so mild and so wonderful, and yet terrible things. You know, millions of people die on the earth because of natural disasters and Christians struggle with that, and for good reason, given the concept that they've built for themselves. And I say, you know what the first thing you do? You need to get rid of that concept, because it ain't working. You know, there is a good number of thinking people who choose not to be Christians and choose not to even believe in God because the concept seems silly to them. And that's because the normal perception of God, the normal take on how God is and how he's supposed to behave is patently untrue. And the evidence that they've got it wrong or that they haven't quite found the right concept is all around. You know? Do we hang on to these things? You know, and this is coming from a guy who has a deep belief in God. And hopefully not a God of my own make. I want to be true and honest. It worries me that many Christians, and militantly so, to the point to where they say, I can't possibly be a Christian because I don't meet their criteria. And you're going, well, is your criteria even plausible? Could it even be correct? And to a point, we just have to come to the whole idea that everybody else comes to. Live and let live. If people want to believe in Santa Claus, they can. It's just fine to say that you don't, because reasons weighs pretty heavily on the side that there really can't be a Santa Claus. Because the mythology we've built up around him doesn't work. See, the same thing's probably true for God and Jesus Christ. You can believe in God and Jesus Christ if you want. It says, but there's plenty of thinking people who choose not to because the way we've built up Jesus Christ, the kind of person we've tried to put forward that he is pretty nonsensical. Of course, you know, and there's plenty of people when they talk about Santa Claus that says, well, Santa Claus doesn't have to obey the laws of physics. You go, okay, all right. Says you're really going out on a limb for this. Of course, that's what Christians say pretty steadfastly about God. Well, God can do whatever he wants. And you go, well, you know, and atheists will steadfastly say, and with probably pretty good effect, that, well, if God can do whatever he wants and God's a good person, why is he stepping in and preventing bad things from happening? Is it because those people deserve it? Is God making those things happen? Of course, a Christian goes, oh, no, 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 we don't want to go that far. Even though that's where their dogma leads, ultimately. Sad to say, you know, it's just like, well, you're an apologist for God. And you go, well, that's true. They are. They're trying to find some way to philosophically keep their basic concept of God that really doesn't work very well at all. And so, you know, they come up with a couple of real zingers, you know. Well, we can't understand the ways of God. And you go, funny, because in the scriptures, that's actually one of the things that says this is how you get life eternal, is to know God. And you go, so therefore he can't be incomprehensible because, you know, that's a trap. If God says, oh, you can't have eternal life until you know me and know Jesus Christ whom I have sent. And you go, well, then you come back and you tell me that I can't understand you. Or that's the traditional interpretation, is that God can't be understood, and that's why he can do the things that he does that don't seem to be bad, or that get justified in a certain way. You know, it's the exact same way. Everybody's making up justifications to try and keep their like tween kids believing in Santa Claus. You know, so we try to make it a little more plausible. Oh, well, that could work. Kind of in a philosophical way. It's sad that seems to be the only thing left that we can use philosophy for, is for manufacturing weird, complex explanations on how Santa Claus can go visit all these kids in one night. How God can smite millions of people and still be the ultimate friend of good. And I come back and my explanation is, number one, I'm going to let people believe what they want to believe. I'm going to be live and let live here. You know, I'm not going to walk all over people's belief systems. It's not useful. Doesn't help me. It doesn't help them. Doesn't make any of us any happier. There's no point getting into that. Second thing is number one, I think it's really easy to say, and I think it's true, that most people have their concept of Jesus Christ wrong. Not correct. Jesus and God. You know, it's easy to stumble into error when you can't consult them and you can't ask them. Or Christians have not left themselves too many opportunities to be able to get answers from God. Because that makes it a whole lot easier. If you could just go to God and get answers to your questions, well, that would blow most of Christianity. You know, Christianity is all about, you know, well, you just need to believe these things. Kind of like Santa Claus. Well, you just need to believe these things. Whether you want to or not, it's just better to believe. And, you know, I'm sorry, that really doesn't, cut it, honestly. So the concepts are wrong. And then, some of the basic suppositions, philosophical arguments that are made are usually not correct. We stumble horribly, people stumble horribly over God because they don't know God's purpose. Why? And you know, why did God create this earth and why did he put men on it? So why did he ultimately do it? Christians don't really have an answer to that. I always got tied up because I would say, well, is he just a sick guy who, like I used to, and I was kind of a sick-minded person when I was a kid, still am in a way, I suppose. I would fry ants with a magnifying glass when I was a kid. I would pull the legs off of frogs. And I stopped doing that because I started to put myself into the... I started trying to put myself into the shoes of ants and frogs and saying, you know, do I want somebody to come just rip my legs off because I'm not in the mood? Or, you know, because they're bored, they don't have anything else to do, and they're just doing weird stuff. And, yeah, you know, I stopped doing that. And is that really the way God is? Is that the purpose? We're just here trying to entertain God and keep him from getting bored? Because, you know, by every look, God wandered off, you know? We have stories from the Old Testament where God took an active part in whipping people into shape and doing things, sending prophets to perform great miracles, and yet we don't see much of that stuff anymore. Of course, Christians go on and on and on about, you know, the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, this is part of their mantra, which is funny because today definitely isn't. Doesn't, at least today's books don't read like the books back in those days. I'm not saying there aren't miracles. I'm not going to come out and say that. I'm just saying that we don't seem to have much of a record. And Christians make that simpler by saying that we can't add to the Bible. You know, they put the kibosh on that. Whether God wanted to or not, it's hard to say. Who do we have to turn to ask us that? I can answer some of these questions in another podcast, because I'm nearly at my destination. God, Jesus Christ, and Santa Claus. People who got put into, who got turned into mythological creatures beyond all belief, and we let it happen, and we perpetuate those things today, and it's sad and horrible, because I do believe there's a God. And I do believe there's Jesus Christ. I think there was St. Nicholas. You know, historical record seems pretty good. I believe in God. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe that they're probably quite different than what we perceive them to be. Or what Christianity teaches that they are, mainline Christianity. I'm very ready to accept that. I think that opens me up to explore the fact that I might be able to find out more truths about God by asking him about his nature and about how Jesus Christ was, because it seems important to follow Jesus Christ. It seems important to know God. It's mentioned that that's life eternal. You know, that's kind of what I would like to have. I'm not interested in anything else. Aren't I? Anyway! This is Jay Nebro. You're listening to The Life Autistic. This is episode 588. God and Santa Claus. Oh, hello, this nation. And I hope you have a great day. Have a great day.